Peter, tell us about the wandering bishops that you write about in your book.
Yeah, I think that Sinister Forces is probably the only place you're going to read about this. The wandering bishops are another one of these strange little subcultures that that I've investigated over the years. And they show up in everything from the Kennedy assassination to the Bobby Kennedy assassination to Iran-Contra. I mean, everywhere.
This is weird.
These are members of very small churches, churches that were created basically on paper. The members of the churches are all bishops, sometimes they're priests, but there's very rarely any actual congregation. I mean, no one is actually attending services for the most part.
Catholics?
Well, they're called Old Roman Catholic, which is a kind of an offshoot or a sect of Roman Catholicism that the Catholics don't really recognize. And sometimes they're Orthodox, an offshoot of the Russian or Greek Orthodox churches, which again, the Orthodox churches probably don't recognize. So you have these small little groups of people, and they're all bishops. And this is a very strange subculture. And you wouldn't even notice them, except for the fact that, for instance, around the Kennedy assassination, as an example, in New Orleans, at the office of Guy Bannister, the FBI agent who had left the FBI and was running a detective agency in New Orleans, out of which Lee Harvey Oswald was running his Fair Play
right.
for Cuba committee, you had David Ferry. If you saw the movie JFK,
you'll
remember Joe Pesci as David Ferry with the red wig. We had David Ferry, Jack Martin, and a number of other people were all bishops in this church. And that's an aspect of their lives that is almost never covered in, by mainstream historians because they don't know what to do with the information, quite frankly. And these people, they're called wandering bishops because they don't really belong to any major organization. They don't have congregants. They don't have the faithful or not attending services. So they really are sort of bishops without portfolio.
Who appoints them?
Well, they're appointed sometimes by each other or by other bishops, other wandering bishops. I mean, it's a, like I say, it's a very strange subculture. It's almost like a cult or a secret society.
All by itself.
All by itself, and it's sort of freestanding. And we find them involved in the Kennedy assassination conspiracies. We find them involved in Bobby Kennedy's assassination. And then we find them again in Iran-Contra. There was a priest called Christopher Dowling who gave evidence before the Iran-Contra committee. Everyone thought he was a Catholic priest, and it turns out he wasn't. He was a member of one of these strange little churches with links back to Ferry and Jack Martin.
No, what about Bobby Kennedy? What's the tie-in with him then?
Well, one of the people who was allegedly the hypnotist who had hypnotized Sirhan, possibly to commit the assassination, was himself a bishop in one of the wandering church
circles.
Oh,
this is too strange, Peter.
Yeah, it is. It's very unusual, very strange, but the documentation is solid. I mean, it's true. These people were bishops in these churches.
Can one assume that this organization may be behind all these murders and assassinations? Was it involved in the Martin Luther King assassination?
Well, it's certainly... when I knew them, and I knew some of them back in the late 60s and 68 and 69.
You knew these people personally?
I knew some of them personally, yes. I didn't know David Ferry, but I knew the church he belonged to and some of the other bishops that he belonged, that were his colleagues, if you will. And I know that that organization was a front for American intelligence. I mean, the man in charge of it blatantly told me.
Now, did they wear priestly outfits?
Absolutely. That was part of the charm.
You see,
an intelligence agency can use people dressed as priests and bearing certificates of ordination or consecration as couriers or as people to perform intelligence functions.
They tend to get in places where most people would not.
Certainly. Absolutely. I mean, if you're dressed in a clerical collar, you can visit a hospital at any time of the day or night. You don't have to worry about visiting hours, for instance. They can travel virtually anywhere. And back in the 50s and 60s, they were practically invisible. No one really paid a second thought to someone dressed in a clerical collar. I mean, they were given carte blanche. They were allowed to do whatever it is they were doing. People tried to help them as much as possible with transportation, with anything. So it was an excellent cover for an intelligence operation.
And the big question is who was in charge of the operation? Was it a government or was it a group?
Well, it appears to have been a government agency. In the case of the church to which David Ferry belonged and Jack Martin and some of the others, there seems to have been a U.S. government agency presence behind it.
Absolutely stunning.
And again, you'll hear about that. You'll read more about that in very great detail in Sinister Forces.
So they all had the garb.
Yep.
They walked around. Was there a facility then that they'd pop in and pop out of that looked like a church?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay. They just walked around in the garb.
That's right.
Yeah, they could have all been CIA agents. Who knows?
Exactly, yeah.
Nobody has ever mentioned this.
No, this is some of the information, as I say, you'd only find in my book.
I mean, this alone could solve most of these assassinations.
It could go away towards doing that, yes, I believe so. There's definitely some smoking guns.
Is it still going on, Peter?
Sure. As I said, as late as Iran-Contra, it was going on.
I mean, even now, do you think?
Sure. They still exist. The organizations still exist. What they're up to, I really don't know.
How did you come across this?
I initially came across it because there was a church building in the Bronx where I grew up, and I managed to locate a church there, and I just innocently walked in on a Sunday morning, and there was nobody in the church, nobody in the pews. There were a couple of priests performing the services up front, and sort of perfunctorily, as if they had to do it. And I eventually made friends with the people there and started talking to them and gained their confidence. And they began talking to me about their organization. I was a young lad at the time; I was about 19 years old. And they probably were looking at me as another prospective recruiter.
Right. Well, what if some parishioner wanted to go in for church services? What would they have done?
Well, they would have carried on as normal. They would have behaved as if they were a normal church. I mean, they did perform their services on Sunday. This was the only group that I know that really adhered to that. But again, this was the headquarters of this organization, so I guess they felt they had to.
I guess, could you say then that these people were part of an occult, or would you simply say they were undercover?
I'd say they were undercover, certainly, but some of the members who belonged to this organization were involved in the occult, David Ferry being a prime example of that. David Ferry was very interested in the occult, was involved in hypnosis, was involved in the paranormal, was involved in occult studies of various types and kinds. So people who've known him have written about him from that point of view. So he's just one example among many.